Welcome to North Christian Church's audio blog. I'm Pastor Ed Collins, the author of this blog. This week's blog, dated March 4th, 2022, is titled The Difference Between Cause and Accompaniment. For years, the Spirit's had me teaching my congregation to read their Bibles on their own time, to make a serious habit of it. I encourage them to do so in the absence of any personal agendas. For example, reading into the Bible what isn't there, and or looking for ways the Bible can be manipulated to endorse evil thinking. I advise them that the best way to avoid such an error is to seek the good intentions of the writers humbly and honestly, and by proxy the Spirit, the true author of the Bible. All of this is accomplished by reading the Bible in context. Suppose you're 10 years old when you and your sibling are sitting in the back seat of the family car at a grocery store, and your dad sees an elderly woman struggling with putting her packages into her trunk. He announces, "One of you go help that poor old lady." You begin revealing your good intentions to help the woman by sliding towards the door. However, your dad, tired of your sibling's selfishness, orders you to sit still and for your sibling to help. They go begrudgingly, don a phony smile while performing the task, and even receive a tip from the grateful woman. The woman walks back to your car as your sibling jumps in the back seat, huddling up next to you, flashing a grin and a crisp dollar bill. The old woman says to your dad, "What a wonderful child you have." Then she turns her attention and looks directly at you and says, "You could learn a lot from your sibling." Why is this scene so irritating? It's because someone chose to pass judgment about you that wasn't fair. We humans do this to each other all the time, don't we? In fact, we sometimes do it on purpose. I call this willful ignorance. In order to pass a degrading or demoralizing judgment on someone else for the sake of building ourselves up. Sadly, this happens quite often in ministry. As grotesque as it may seem and as vile as it is to God, people often misrepresent someone's comments and/or teaching, ultimately slandering them. It has happened to me personally many times. When it does, I fall back on the words of Jesus. Romans 12:14-21 reads, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I will now share with you a recent attack I suffered. I was told that my personal stance on salvation was perverted because I teach that a person in humility must repent and believe, these are two sides of the same coin, and at some point during their conversion they must count the cost of surrendering to the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 14:27-28, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" If I attribute repentance and belief as works of man, then you would be correct in concluding that I am mixing man's work in with salvation by grace through faith alone. I have never taught this, of course. While God can only judge why I was attacked, I can only stand by what Holy Scripture says, refuting the false accusations. The craziest thing is that I was accused of teaching something that I, in fact, do not teach. Here's what I teach. Salvation is by grace through faith. God does all the work. God is the cause. Man is hopeless and helpless in his natural estate. What happens to man once he is born again, that which accompanies his salvation, assures him of his conversion forevermore. Romans 5:8 reads, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2:8 and 9 reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So someone asks me about repentance, I say that God does all the work by grace. 2 Timothy 2:25 to 26, "God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will." If someone asks me about surrendering oneself to the Lord in order to follow him, I simply quote Jesus, Luke 9:23, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." If someone asks me to explain why I believe a true believer must bear fruit in keeping with repentance as evidence of true conversion, I refer them to Holy Scripture. Matthew 3:8, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Acts 26:20, "But I, Paul, declare first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance." If someone asks me why I teach that good works must accompany salvation and sanctification, I simply quote Holy Scripture. James 2:17 reads, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So by now you might be asking, on what grounds can anyone attack you? My response is simple. Like the old lady in the opening scene, people have a bad habit of taking what I say out of context. What is the error exactly as I see it? People hear what they want to hear and judge precipitously, even at the risk or sometimes intention of slandering another person. In my case, the false assumption is actually a function of their own error. For example, they judge me through a perverted lens. They, not I, believe that repentance, surrender, and belief are works of man, something supposedly man is able to do while still an unbeliever. I believe natural man can do nothing good. Therefore, all aspects of salvation are grace gifts from God, referring, of course, to all the above. So, when a slanderer imposes their false beliefs onto mine, they conclude I am teaching salvation is by faith plus works. In other words, they conclude that I'm teaching that works are the cause for salvation, rather than the truth, which is that all good works accompanying salvation are fruit of God's grace. When understood in light of their error, it is understandable why they might cast accusations. I, too, reject any work of man contributing to his salvation. Again, the craziest thing is that I am accused of teaching something that I, in fact, do not teach. You see, the disagreement isn't with understanding that salvation is by grace alone. The issue is a bit deeper and insidious. That is, that some people believe that repentance, surrender, and belief are actually works of man. I believe they are works of God. For example, when the Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved," Acts 16:31, it is implied that God must perform a work in man in order for this to happen, a la John 6:44. What the Bible never says is that man has the power to do anything in the direction of salvation without God's intervention. Otherwise, we'd have to assume that fallen man can do good, in direct contradiction to God's word. For example, John 1:13, Romans 3:10, and Romans 5:8. What his word teaches us, a la Ephesians 2:8 and 9, is that God, by grace, gives man the power and the humility to repent and believe, Likewise, any surrendering that is done during the conversion process is also a function of God's grace alone. So to net this out, God is the cause of salvation through and through. Any good work that accompanies the conversion process or the process of sanctification afterwards is merely evidence that God has indeed performed this good work for his own purposes and by his own power. 2 Timothy 1:9 reads, "The Lord saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Philippians 1:6 reads, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." We as believers have the ability to discern what God has accomplished in us at salvation. The more we continue to learn from his word, the more we appreciate all that he has accomplished in us by grace. To believe that God demands repentance and belief in order to be saved, and then to realize that he is the one who empowers these good acts, is to love him all the more. 1 John 4:19 reads, "We love because he first loved us." So there's a difference between cause and accompaniment. To say that man is the cause for his salvation is a lie. To attribute one's ability to repent and believe to man is the root of this lie. If you wish to dig your heels into this error more, I suggest you read The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. To accuse an Orthodox pastor of supposing such a lie is slanderous. Context is key, certainly while reading our Bibles, but also whenever we judge the thoughts, words, and intentions of others. James 1:16 through 20 reads, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this, please visit us at nccdighton.org. That's nccdighton.org. Until next time, God bless and have a wonderful day in God's matchless grace.